Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You sure that you meant to say need and not want? Because if you want somebody to take the next step, it's not really like a or else ultimatum.
I need a drink of water or else I will die of dehydration versus I want a drink of water. It would be nice.
I'm thirsty. Yeah. Want versus need are two very different things to me. If he means, and I don't think he does, but if he means he needs to take the next step, okay, you have two more years left on the contract. If you don't do it, you're gone because you needed to do it. But we debated this when Art talked yesterday. I have a hard time even when I put out the hypothetical. Let's say they go 10 years without a playoff win. I still need to know how those regular seasons went before saying definitively that he would just let the contract run out and move on from Mike. And okay, so this is kind of a Pirates point that I'm about to make. Let's say next year they went 9-8.
Yep.
And lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Same as it ever was.
And you know other teams value Mike. For whatever reason, they still think that he can turn their program or turn their team around.
He's stale there. He'd be great here.
If he really is on thin ice, then you owe it to yourself to trade him.
Unless you're Art and you're petrified of the mere thought of being connected to a trade.
Because you'd rather get something for him than just let the contract run out and have a press release that says Mike Tomlin and the Steelers went their separate ways. And then he's gone and yippee, hooray, we get to go get another coach finally.
You trade for him for a couple first-round picks and at least some corners in that situation. Like, if say somebody actually wanted to
even if you don't get two first-round picks.
If you trade him for, like, a good return, then there would be at least some shrewd analysts who would say, hey, that's pretty good. That's, like, good allocation of resources. Like, you've done a... If you were ready to move on, the guy hasn't, you know, won a playoff game in so long. That's not the word.
Even if you're not ready to move on, even if you're close to ready to move on,
corners of the media would give you credit. The usual suspects would whine and complain.
Mike Greenberg would say the Steelers are going to rue this day and they'll never get over it, and they're going to turn into the New York Jets.
I don't give a rat's ass what Mike Greenberg would say.
Rich Eisen might cry on the air if that happened.
He'd say
it'd be
something,
an advertisement for Kleenex.
He'd say something like the ungrateful fans and media of Pittsburgh pushed Mike away and they forced Art Rooney to do this. What I do think would be funny in that situation, which will never happen, of course, is what if Mike just goes to that new team and sucks? Goes 4-13 the first year, like 7-10 the next year. The best he does is like 9-8 or 10-7 with a wild card
loss.
Okay,
so if you think that Mike, and I happen to think he probably is, based on what the standard is to get in. If you think that Mike is a Hall of Famer, how many Hall of Fame coaches had a Hall of Fame career in one place and then did pretty well with their next team?
Andy Reid's doing the inverse. pretty well with his first team Hall of Fame career at stop
if,
two.
Like, before we started the odometer on his time in Kansas City, would you say that Andy Reid was a Hall of Fame coach? I would say no.
He was a guy missing a Super Bowl, at least, from that resume.
Not enough Super Bowl appearances. If he went to a couple more and lost them and had none, he could be like Levy of that generation.
If he had gone to one more and won it, he would have been right there, I think, for me. Two appearances, one win. That's like a Cowher resume with a bunch of championship game appearances.
Yeah.
That's a Cowher resume.
I'm just saying what you said. Like, what if he goes, what, hypothetically speaking, if he, you know, he could go to the next place and suck. There aren't a lot of examples of guys who were Hall of Famers one place.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Sean Payton, a Hall of Famer in New Orleans?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think he's close, but I don't think he would be.
Was Holmgren a Hall of Famer for the Packers work?
He's not a Hall of Famer now, and he's been
period.
Out of the...
Yeah. No, I'm saying, like, he at least... He got to Super Bowls with two different teams. Doesn't happen. That even doesn't happen often. What, Dan Reeves did it.
Obviously, the resume in its totality is still not good enough because he's been out of coaching for 15 years or 20 years, and he's not in.
So who else is there even? Like, there's not a ton of...
I mean, Lombardi was pacing in that way, in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got sick and passed away when he went to Washington. I would say
wasn't Shula good with the Colts? No, Shula was an assistant. I'm sorry.
No, he was the head coach in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's right. He was their head coach, and he was...
Donnie would have to look up how many because Eubank won a lot of those championships with Unitas. Actually, he's a good one. Colts and Jets. I would say Parcells is one. I would say if Parcells never goes to New England...
Shula won an NFL title, excuse me, with the Colts.
Just one, though, right?
Dude, his resume, though, there, just for the...
How many years was he in Baltimore for?
So he was in Baltimore for seven seasons.
Yeah, that's
seasons.
Not enough to get in the Hall of Fame. 7 years in Baltimore and one championship.
How many did John Madden have to get into, well, what, 10?
Yeah, but Madden's also a unique case because he got in years later, not just because he had the highest winning percentage as a coach, but... It also didn't hurt that he was one of the most dynamic, magnanimous, larger-than-life personalities in the sport, you know?
I mean, Shula did 71-23-4 in 7 years.
Yeah, pretty good.
And won an NFL title. That's pretty damn close to
I would say
Hall
Parcells was a Hall of Fame coach in New York before he went to New England or the Jets or the Cowboys, because he won two Super Bowls there.
No, there aren't. To your point, there are just... vanishingly few examples of a guy who was great in two separate places. I honestly, that's why I think Reed has a real chance to go down as the best coach ever, because they're
how about that?
They're showing no signs of slowing down. Why would he, what does Andy Reed like have that's keeping him from not coaching football? What is he, like 67? Something like that? Mid to late 60s, I think.
Well, remember, there are all those reports and rumors that he was going to retire after last year's Super Bowl?
I don't think he has any desire. Why would you? The only guy from that team this year that I think will retire almost win or lose is Kelsey.
Because he's got so much going on in life.
He's also older than Mahomes.
You know,
by a lot.
I am so sick of that guy. The stunt he pulled on Hamlin in the AFC Championship game, he deserved to get ripped for.
I apologize. I somehow missed this.
Donnie, you know what I'm talking about? On the Mahomes touchdown?
Hamlin.
Yeah. You've done nothing in the game.
Was that the one where Mahomes did the worst spike of all time?
Yeah, and you get up in Hamlin's face. Of all the people to make fun of and mock in a game, you're picking DeMar Hamlin. Be better than that, Travis Kelce.
I'm just kind of tired of him. I think he's an all-time great, but... I don't know. I think actually Reed absolutely has a case to be the greatest coach ever when it's all said and done. I don't know why that even seems like controversial at this point.
Because Bill's got six.
Reed is one win away from having four.
Mm-hmm.
And at age 66, could easily coach for another 5-6 years minimum, at which point it would not be inconceivable, given the freaking trajectory they're on, that he would win two more. And he would have, and at that point, he'd have matched Bill, and then he would have what Bill doesn't, which is a, by and large, extremely successful tenure before he ever got to Kansas City.
So I heard Starkey say today that one of the reasons why he believes Art won't do anything with Mike is because he's petrified by fear that he does not want to fire or remove from his post the guy that his dad hired to be head coach when Mike was in his early
30s. I would be sticking a middle finger in my father's memory.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, I would be a middle finger flipping the bird right to my father.
I mean, obviously, R knows his dad way, 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 way better than all of us do. But we know his football moves. We know the football, the cutthroat football decisions that he made in charge of the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I would think if a coach went 8, 9, 10 years without a playoff win, and Dan Rooney found out that he could trade that coach for first-round picks that could make the team on the field better,
he would do it.
He would at least entertain it.
If not, probably do it. I mean, did he not balk at Bill Cowher wanting a lot more money and just say, I'll find a new coach? I mean,
that's kind of an apocryphal story that some people believe and some people don't, but
either way, maybe. He was willing to cut bait with a guy who had won a Super Bowl a year prior.
Do you know what I mean, Donnie? Like, if we play this game of, like, what would happen if Dan Rooney was here? If Mike had gone 8 seasons without winning a playoff game and a team called and might be willing to give up first-round picks, I feel like Dan would at least listen to that much more than Art did. Just knowing the football decisions that he made in his life.
He understands the currency.
That's the big difference. I think he would at least say, hey, well, what do you have to offer us? If I like it enough, maybe we'll make something happen.
And I've heard people say or ask, well, where's Omar in all of this? Omar's below Mike.
Yeah, their GM coach hierarchy is not the way it is in other places. Like, Howie Roseman's way above Nick Sirianni in that power structure, for example. I would argue, actually, though, I've talked to people randomly about this team. Even though John Lynch has a lot of cachet, Kyle Shanahan is above John Lynch.
Yeah, because he pretty much hired John Lynch.
He has final say there. Like, there are situations where the coach is clearly above the GM, and there are situations where the opposite is the case. You mentioned McDermott. He's above Brandon Bean.
Yep.
He shouldn't be. McDermott probably should be getting fired one of these years.
Wow.
You don't think you could have make a case by real NFL terms that if you keep banging your head off the wall, eventually it's time to try something new?
Yeah. I don't think right now is the best time to make that point, but I...
No, after like the 13 seconds game.
Correct.
Might have been a little early in his tenure, but yes, you could have done it then.
Or running a fake punt with DeMar Hamlin in last year's playoff game against the Chiefs.
We have to remember that we live in like a weird alternate universe where, you know, the idea of firing a coach after getting to an AFC title game and getting beat by the eventual champs the year before that is just... That would never happen in a million years.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bad Cleveland Browns. That's where we have to get our jollies and rocks off these days, is by looking at that sad sack organization. Their GM spoke today and said, Myles Garrett ain't going anywhere. Team could offer up 2 first-round picks for Myles Garrett, and the Browns would say no. This is why the Browns are the Browns, is my reaction to that, for dismissing things like this out of hand already. You suck. You don't have an answer at quarterback. It's the same logic we have used to talk about TJ Watt, even though that won't happen. I think Pop actually broached that topic with Art too. I'll give Bob credit again for reading the fan room and bringing up things that fans are talking about. And Art blanched at that idea of trading TJ.
I mean, just again, the fact that he blanches at it, that there's hardly ever are you posing questions to Art that actually get like a thoughtful response where it's like, yeah, we've considered that.
He's a blanching expert.
It's just there are so many things with that organization that seem like they're so out of bounds to them as far as being possibilities, like you might as well not even bring them up. Is that not the definition of being a close-minded franchise?
Yeah.
We're not even going to really entertain your call about trading for Mike. Trading Watt.
I don't think it's close-minded. I think it's conservative. I think they're just a very conservatively run team.
Isn't limiting your options in some ways like that inherently close-minded? Aren't those kind of synonyms when it comes to sports?
Yeah, because you could be an aggressive team and be close-minded. Like, that's the one thing you're willing to do. You're not able to slow it down.
I think Dan Campbell's aggressive and somewhat close-minded about it. It's an all gas, no brakes. It's worked better for them, but like Arts is the really bad kind. I have to give our little buddy Austin Bechtel the pop. He called it the city of stagnancy. City of stagnancy, not stability. He's right.
Well, and then didn't he get buried by Joe? Didn't Joe say something like you permanently live in the friend zone or something like that?
I mean, you might have to pay property taxes.
Donnie, what was the comment he said on that?
The friend zone got brought up, and Joe said, well, Limit, you have a house in the friend zone.
paying property taxes.
Poor Austin.
That's the guy whose show he produces doing that to him. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Austin's trying to find things to get me going, by the way. But that's another story for another day. I might put that in a hodgepodge.
You're Donnie.
They live right down the street from me.
They do?
Yeah.
Do you guys ever hang out?
Almost neighbors.
Can you walk to each other's houses?
It would be about a 20-minute walk. Maybe
you guys
25.
Should double date. Oh, wait, you need a girlfriend.
Oh, wait, that's correct. Sorry, thank you for the reminder.
God, you can hear Austin's soul just die.
Donnie, were you in there when that got said? Were you sitting in for that one, or did you hear that in the car?
You can hear.
I heard that one in the car. That was like over the summer at one point.
All right. Let's get to some calls here. Jeff leads us off. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. Sam,
every day I come down 28 in the afternoon, going to Corey to get a load of gasoline to take it to somewhere in the burg. I see my beautiful cityscape, and then I come past Heinz Field, and my heart sinks. I'm 67 years old, and this is getting old. I mean, you know, I remember the early 70s. But, you know, you guys do a great job. We all need counseling to, like, stop caring.
Hypnosis, perhaps.
Can Top Dog litigate for football malpractice?
Thank you, Jeff. I'm telling you, the calls have been great.
Steve tweets in. Here's another one. He says, coming in June 2025, Top Dog, Malpractice, the highly anticipated debut album.
Here is one of the queens of the PM team. The great Candy in Monroeville is back with us. Hello, Candy.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not great, Candy.
Yeah, not great. Yeah, that heavy sigh doesn't have me feeling optimistic about what you're going to say, Candy.
Well, you said you didn't always want to bring the mood down, but it can't get much lower than where we're at right now, Candy.
Well, that's kind of what I thought, so I thought I better put my 2 cents worth in. I have had a feeling for a while that Dan and Art Sr. are turning over in their graves. I mean, I think they would be appalled at how the Steelers are not progressing and just seem to be in a state of stagnancy. And I'll be very honest with you, when I decided not to drink the Kool-Aid, It made my life a lot calmer. As terrible as that is, I mean, I still root for him and everything, but when it doesn't pan out, I'm just like, oh, well, yeah, that's the way it is.
You didn't get your hopes up. You didn't get your hopes up,
no.
Candy, exactly.
Who sang that song, That's Just the Way It Is?
Yes, I hate
Phil
to
Collins.
Say it. Yep, I hate to say it, and it doesn't make me love them any less, But it sure makes me want to pull my hair out at times. I mean, isn't stupidity doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results?
I think they call that insanity, but stupidity works too, Candy.
Okay. So you guys can take it for what it's worth, but actually, my hopes this year are on Pitt basketball. That's all we have left.
Yeah. Thank you, Candy, so much.
I love hearing from Candy.
And she's seen it all.
Where have you gone, Pitt basketball?
She remembers.
Nation turns its lonely eyes to you.
She remembers when Dick Shiner was the Steelers' starting quarterback. Bobby Lane. You could smell the booze on his breath in the huddle. That Steelers quarterback.
Who was the one very funny named pirate? Maybe Jim Trudinich, Pirates historian, posted
Johnny
this.
Johnny Dickshot.
Called himself the ugliest man in baseball,
yeah,
or whatever.
It was his birthday the other day.
That's what it was.
Oh, did Jimmy wish him well again?
He just had he had like a very funny tweet that just was like, yeah, it's the, you know, self-proclaimed ugliest man in baseball,
Johnny
Dickshot.
Remember the rant Donnie had when they came out with their Hall of Fame class?
And Eagle Eye.
They put Beckley in over Bonds, and Donnie's like, they put Eagle Eye in. Are you kidding me? They put a guy from 150 years ago no one's ever heard of.
The self-proclaimed
the home run king?
The self-proclaimed ugliest man in baseball was born on this date in 1910. Outfielder Johnny Dickshot.
Is he a homely bastard? What's your take?
I actually didn't think he was ugly.
He just looks like a normal-looking guy.
I mean, especially for guys back then. I mean, think how horrendous Honus Wagner was looking. Honus Wagner looked like he was 75 when he was like 26.
I'm like, well, then there's Kenny Stabler from a couple days ago, 39 going on 67.
Yeah.
No, this
people are aging much better these days.
I think it's got to be the lack of cigarettes and secondhand smoke.
How about the preservatives we put in food? Do you think that helps?
like formal, it's like a little bit of baby formaldehyde for us.
Here's Paul and Jeanette. Hello, Paul.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a question. Is this interview with Rudy or this press conference, is it available to be looked at anywhere in its entirety?
So I mean, I looked on. So you can go. Yeah, so you can go back to our show yesterday on the Odyssey app. And if you go to about 240, you'll see, I think Donnie marked it AR2 takeaways. And you can hear basically the entire thing. It's not totally, it's not all 25 minutes, but it's a sizable portion of it. It's enough to get the gist of what happened. No, it's interesting. Like, they didn't post that to the Steelers website. The only thing on the Steelers website is a 7-minute sit-down between Art and Rob King. I looked all over KDKA TV's site. Their interview with Pompeiani, it's just the couple of questions that made it into the news broadcast. It's really weird. I don't know why they wouldn't want it out there for people to go listen to it and draw their own conclusions from it and come away with their own findings and takes on it.
Anytime,
the same way they do with every Tomlin press conference that gets posted.
Anytime there's this much restriction, for lack of a better word, on this kind of, you know, these kinds of statements, it just makes me wonder about the motives, because it makes you look like you don't want it out there.
And the thing you'll get is, you know, at least Art talks. It's in a unique way. It's in a different way. But we very rarely hear from the Pirates owner. And we never, ever, 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 ever hear from Penguins ownership. I don't even know now who would speak on behalf of Penguins ownership, to be honest with you. LeBron?
Can you imagine?
What if somebody like at a Lakers post game started asking LeBron questions about like the Penguins? Because isn't he part of the ownership?
Well, he's like one of the very... He owns like a very small percentage. He's bought into Fenway Sports Group, yeah. Can you imagine if he just took it seriously and was, you know, they've got to find a great return for Raquel at the deadline. He's having a great year. I just want to see them make sure they move him for something good.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, you guys have really gotten on me for the thing I said about just we have to beware or just keep a watchful eye on China.
Here we go.
And I have people who have texted me some of their opinions on that take. And they've said, look out for some of these athletes that are in cahoots with China, and LeBron's name has come up in that. This is listeners bringing it to me, not my, I have not done the research on it.
Pony, people have been saying LeBron in China for like, on social media for years, literally. Yeah.
Did you know that, Don?
Literally.
I did, yeah, I heard it a time or two.
I mean, that got put out there constantly.
Look, what's going on there? What's the deal with that?
What if you just had your own like sideshow on like KDAM, and it was just called "What's the Deal with That"? Or it was called what if it was actually called from like 8 to 9 every night? Eye on China with Andrew Filippone.
It would not be a good show because I would say the same thing every night,
folks.
We just need to.
You could have sections where it's like, here are the things about China that I am monitoring.
Yeah, that's it.
And here are the things that are a little bit higher, you know, I am actively watching, more like passively monitoring over.
What are you guys talking about off the air?
I'm just imagining, like, the Chinese not taking offense to you saying, keep your eye on China, but Xi Jinping... just saying to his buddies, can you believe how bad this guy's sports takes are? Everybody knew Kenny Pickett's hands were too small, and they want to silence you because they're sick of your takes. Just imagine them laughing around a table, slapping their knees as they see another prediction go belly up. They're all getting rich on a Chinese sports betting app, fading your picks.
It is time for Donnie's mock of the day. Installment numero uno.
You're taking this over, Don.
First edition, the first Steelers mock draft of 2025. Football guys love mock drafts. Guilty pleasures for everybody. People say they don't read them. They do. People say they don't mean anything. They don't, but that doesn't stop us from consuming them, devouring them, and caring about them.
Oh, the consumption is off the charts. First one of the year. Comes from Daniel Jeremiah. I think he does pretty good work. His Twitter handle's what? Move the
Move the sticks.
Yep. Appalachian State.
Yeah, NFL Network. He does some pretty good stuff.
Chargers radio color analyst.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did he play ball?
Yeah, he was a quarterback at Appalachian State.
Not in the pros is what I should have said. Yeah.
He released his 1.0. This was Saturday, so I know it's from a couple of days ago, but I did find it interesting, at least where he did have a few players fall. We'll get to the Steelers in a moment. Did either of you see his?
I did not, actually. So this is going like to be new this. To me.
I like it when I am going in blind.
And I agree with what you've said so far. I value his opinion enough where, without
this
having
isn't just
really,
some random guy.
Yeah, without really having seen any mock drafts yet, because we're just getting into it. Other than maybe a few names like Abdul Carter,
that Michigan defensive,
Mason Graham, and the two quarterbacks, I'm not really sure what the rest of this is going to look like.
1-1 to the Tennessee Titans. Abdul Carter, the
Abdullah the Butcher,
edge rusher.
He is a stud.
He's a monster. That play he made with his arm basically dangling from his body to run across the formation and tackle the back against Notre Dame is just stupid.
I know I watch every Penn State game, so there's a bias. I really do think they've got, after quarterbacks obviously have added value because of the difference they can make in a game, the most important position, I really think between Carter and Warren, they've got two of the best players in the entire draft.
Do you watch every Penn State game because you feel like you should, because you're working in Pittsburgh, or because you want to?
At this point, I want to.
Ugh.
And depending on the mood I'm in, I either root very hard for them or root for them to lose by 50.
What would you say is the more prevalent mood?
Root for them to lose by 50.
Yeah, this year it was that.
Franklin's just so smarmy, it's hard for me to root for them.
All right, so well, Carter
won. Impossible for me to root
1-2 to the Cleveland Browns. Travis Hunter.
I think that quarterbacks don't go 1-2 to quarterback-hungry teams.
I actually think that would be a very smart pick for them to not reach and get desperate.
And then my prediction would be that Kirk Cousins is the Browns' week one starting quarterback.
You like that?
I would, actually, as a Steelers fan. Because I think he's toast.
Mr. Immobile.
Maybe they'll get them in week one again. Kirk Cousins.
I wouldn't love it, because if you think he's toast, okay, I can understand that. You'd love it. If you think his Achilles will be, like, considerably healthier 2 years removed, he's got a chance to be, like, a guy that's frustrating against you in the regular season. Then again, why am I saying that? He's not going to be in a dome. He's going to be in a place where the weather is terrible.
All right.
Strike that from the record, Don.
Okay, so the quarterbacks are still out there.
Now the first quarterback goes next. Cam Ward goes to the Giants at 3.
At 4?
4, we have an offensive lineman, Will Campbell from LSU.
LSU.
5?
Mason Graham from Michigan.
6?
Shedeur Sanders to the Raiders.
That's a lot of people connecting those dots. Can you imagine Brady just dog-cussing Shedeur Sanders behind closed doors?
Brady and Prime have a few conversations, maybe.
Man, let me ask you this. Is Brady so great as a player that Prime actually,
bows down a little bit, but
the ego gets checked by the fact that the team is partly owned by the greatest winner the sport's ever seen.
I think so.
I think it would almost have to. Even though Brady's kind of a corny weirdo about certain things, I think even for Deion Sanders, he's like, holy crap, that's Tom Brady.
All right, so start giving us some
rapid fire
relevant names to the Steelers.
Well, right after that, number 7, by the way, Tyler Warren goes to the Jets.
Okay.
And Jeremiah said this is one of my favorite players in the draft.
How could he not be?
First big receiver goes number 8 to Carolina. That's McMillan from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a hell of a get for Bryce Young.
You see Ashton Jeanty go to the Cowboys at 12, which has been
hilarious.
Talked about for years.
Hilarious, terrible fit, but that's why I love it.
We do see a couple of defensive tackles off the board right before the Steelers go. Cincinnati taking Walter Nolan from Ole Miss.
Steelers are apparently watching him real close
today.
And
then Kenneth Grant from Michigan to Seattle at number 18. So the couple of wide receivers still on the board. Only one has gone.
Quick funny thing I've noticed, by the way. I've seen like Nick Faribault and people posting that the Steelers are really watching the defensive tackles.
Uh-huh.
And the Twitter reaction to that has been like devastation. Like, God, I can't believe
another
this.
Defensive player
but,
again.
Yes, but I will say
that's
this.
That's my first thought.
It should be. If we look at the Eagles, who we all say, it'd be great if they could be like the Eagles. That's what Roseman does every year, man. He just is constantly reloading both lines early sure. in most
yeah.
drafts.
They've also lucked out by getting guys they have no business getting.
Jalen Carter falling.
Jalen Carter
yeah,
at ninth overall because of the accident. Nobody wanted to pick him. Oh, okay, we'll take him. Now he's an all-pro.
I don't think Jordan Davis was a good pick.
Well, that one's looking, worse. He just kind of looks like a guy.
Remember how much Steelers fans were obsessed with him? Like he was going to be the next friggin' Joe Green.
You know why? It's because he's a huge fat type of player.
We love fat here in Pittsburgh.
I mean, he's just a big fat guy.
All right, so I've not looked at this, I swear. I have a weird feeling Jeremiah is going to have the Steelers taking a corner.
I disagree.
With their pick.
I think it's going to be a wide receiver.
It is a wide receiver.
I can't decide. Now there's Burden. Luther Burden's out there still. Igbuka's out there.
Luther Vandross Burden.
Luther Beast of Burden. No, it's either going to be, I think it's going to be Igbuka or, how about this one, Donnie? Wild card pick for me. Golden, the kid from Texas.
The wild card is right, Malzy.
Well, so I was going to guess somebody other than Igbuka, and here's why.
He doesn't have Igbuka in the first round.
I was going to guess somebody other than Igbuka because if Daniel Jeremiah on Saturday had said the Steelers were going to take Igbuka, Donnie would have tweeted something out about it like 5 minutes after he read it.
Also, Johnny the Barber would have sent it to us 10 times.
Even though it wasn't Igbuka, I did tweet out that it was a receiver.
Would you say this music just makes you feel good and in a sports talking mood every time you hear it? This part
Burden,
of it in particular.
Burden went 25 to the Texans, by the way.
Man, a lot of people really like him, though. McMillan's just obviously the best in the class. You're not going to have access to him. I've seen Burden going as high as like the top 12 picks, I think.
The Beast of Burden.
Oh, that's going to be a Berman specialty.
I just said.
Yeah.
Luther Burden in my hand. That's a sound garden.
I'm wondering what Matthew Golden would be. You have a couple options
Matthew Golden Grahams. Matthew Stay
Golden Corral.
How about Stay Golden Pony Boy?
What if he said, Matthew Golden Girls, thank you for being a friend. Touchdown,
that's a good
Steelers.
One. That's a great one.
I love that one.
I think you win. And then Matthew, Booger, all that glitters is not golden.
Yeah, and then Booger would just start laughing.
Am I on an island here? I'm a huge fan of Boog that role.
We've had this talk.
Because I think Boog is just having the time of his life there. He just like sits in the back and he's like, Berman's doing his thing. He goes, ha ha, Chris.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.